Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, I do thank you for today, and I thank you for your grace that just continues to shroud over us and just hold us together. We thank you for the many things that you have given us, and one of those things is your word. So, Father, as we go through your word here today, just let there be the message that you have for us, that Jesus Christ is our Savior. Jesus Christ is our go-to. Jesus Christ is our focus and the center of our lives. Help us to see that and just realize that sometimes people struggle to find that. But it's easy because you're always there. You're knocking on the door and you are very persistent and never, ever, backing away from us. It always seems like we're backing away from you at times. So just guide us, Lord. Let these words just kind of like float in the air. Let the Holy Spirit take them and just mold them into our hearts the way you want it to be. This we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen. The message that I have for us is gaining wisdom. And we've been talking about wisdom an awful lot through Proverbs because that's a lot about what it is. First of all, we talked about seeking wisdom, and we talked about the fear of the Lord that was mentioned in Proverbs. We also talked about holding on to wisdom, and that being very important for us. Last week we talked about that wisdom calls. This week we're looking about gaining wisdom and actually obtaining that wisdom. Next week we're going to do another wisdom one, but it's about now that you've got it, what do you do with it, basically. Okay, so that's where we're headed to. So the idea is gaining wisdom, because we always like to gain wisdom and to know that that's something that's very important for us. So it helps us make choices. It helps us to, direct our path. And it's even in society, wisdom is looked upon as something great to be attained from. And we can go to Ecclesiastes. And chapter 7, and verses 11 and 12, and you'll see here it says that wisdom, like an inheritance, is a good thing and benefits those who see the sun. So when it says everything, in Ecclesiastes it goes through under the sun, those under the sun, basically it means it's just us humans. We're under the sun. We're physically under the sun. We're there. So when he talks about this, for those who see the sun, he's just talking about people, worldly people. Right? So in that aspect over there, even worldly people seek wisdom because they see that there's a lot to be gained from that sort of thing. Right? It's a good thing. Wisdom is a shelter as money is a shelter, right? So we relate smartness, wisdom, sometimes wisdom making good choices, with money. There's a person that's has wise with their money, they're not throwing it away. And we can relate wisdom to some tangible things that we have. It says, but the advantage of knowledge is this, and that wisdom preserves the life of its possessor. That if we have wisdom, then we make smart choices. We aren't driving down the road 80 miles an hour when it's a blizzard out and, icy roads and stuff, because we're using wisdom, right? We can understand that sort of thing. But this is looking at it from a worldly perspective, all right? And this is not really the wisdom that God is speaking about. So you have to learn to kind of separate those two, the worldly wisdom versus godly wisdom. And what we're going to be talking about today is trying to get that godly wisdom. And you're like, what? There's a difference? I didn't know that. And it's like, well, yeah, there is a difference. Because one is the wisdom of man, the other one is the wisdom of God. What do you want? What is it you're really looking to gain in your life? Well, people look, trying to gain it all over the place. In Proverbs 4:5, it says, get wisdom. Very simple. I mean, I'm taking little excerpts of some of the scriptures. You see my list, there's got quite a few scripture verses in there. Little things about wisdom and talking about, what we should do. You should just get wisdom. Gain it. All right, something we should be doing. Very simply put, what should I be doing? Get wisdom. Scripture mentions that sort of thing. We look over here in Proverbs 3:13. Blessed is a man who finds wisdom. Because we've already talked about that in Ecclesiastes, but again, it's not the wisdom under the sun. It's the wisdom from God that we're really talking about. And so we see people that seem to have that godly wisdom, and it's like, yeah, I want to be able to do that as well. Well, Scripture says, you know, blessed is the man who finds it. So if you want to be blessed, gain wisdom. Here it says in Job 28:20, and you remember the story of Job, how he was kind of like, had everything going for him. He has a beautiful large family, lots of buildings, lots of property, lots of servants, and probably lots of money that went along with that. And he literally lost everything except his wife. Even his health was lost for a period of time, an extended period of time. And so when you're on that deathbed, as we mentioned before about David being the last things that he was going to be saying and stuff, right? Those things are the important things. Job is contemplating about wisdom, and he says, where then does wisdom come from? We struggle with those things. Now, if you read on a little bit with Job, he talks about where it comes from. But I'm not going to put that in there just yet or anything. We look here again in... where's my button not working here? All right, oops, now I have to go back. Right. Okay, in Job 12:12... he says, is not wisdom found among the aged? Does not long life bring understanding? And we've talked about this before in terms of, I always thought older people were more wise than people that were younger than them. And I have found, getting older myself, is that older people don't always make wise choices. You know, and they tend to think they're smart because they're older, but really, from a wisdom perspective, they aren't. And even Job was looking at this area over here. He wasn't getting to be an older man. And is there not wisdom in age? The experiences that you have in life, you can start to combine things and start making choices based upon what has happened, what you've seen, and you've seen some results of those things. You can see where people are going down when they make particular choices in their life, and they're going down this path. You know it's not a good path because you've seen other people do that very thing. And you see other people making good choices, and you're thinking, well, you know, there's a wise person there. So wisdom tends to, just from experience alone, you start to see what's out there. And so we're looking for gaining wisdom. It's almost like, well, if we're going to gain wisdom, we have to get old. Well, who here wants to get old? It's like, getting old really isn't always the best thing. But it's like, yeah, we're looking at it. And then Ecclesiastes in 7:24 says, whatever wisdom may be, sometimes we don't even know what it is far off and most profound. And who can discover it? Sometimes we feel that wisdom is so out of reach, it's not even worth trying to gain because it's next to impossible to get. Because God is so great, and we have done such bad things that God will not look upon me and grant me anything like that. Sometimes that's the way the world looks, so you just accept that. Well, wisdom's not for me. And yet, Scripture says to what? Get wisdom. Does it say, get wisdom if you're a good person? Does it say, get wisdom if you already have wisdom? Does it say, get wisdom if you live a certain lifestyle? No. It says flat out, get wisdom. That's, to me, says that everyone here, and everyone that you know, everyone on this earth should get wisdom. But there's many people that have this attitude. It's like, well, it's not for me. I never made it through the 8th grade, so I guess I'm just dumb. Mom and Dad have been telling me I'm dumb. You know, and that type of scarring is really hard to get over. Sometimes that that emotional and the words are harder to forgive than the actual physical abuse that sometimes kids get within a family, and how hard that can be to overcome. You know, because if you've been ingrained that, you know, that's never going to be there, well, that's pretty sad, really. Right? God will do the judging on that. But what we're looking at is just, I know, again, Ecclesiastes, remember, under the sun. People under the sun feel that wisdom is too far away to be able to obtain. And that's really something that's kind of scary. So, what do we do? Well, let's go back to the book of Job. And in this one here, chapter 33, verse 33, he says, "But if not in terms of understanding things, then listen to me, be silent, and I will teach you wisdom." This is Elihu, which is one of the younger guys that was speaking. And sometimes we do this. We'll go to individuals and we'll say, "What is wisdom? You know, you seem to have things under control. What is it that you're doing? How is it that you know these sort of things?" And then, you know, we might be enlightened a little bit, or maybe what we'll do is we'll go to these self-help books that are out there, you know, in the bookstores, or you can get online, or we listen to people on podcasts and stuff like that. And it's all about, you know, "This is what I did in order to gain wisdom." And if you want to do the same thing, you need to take these 6 steps. And you too will be able to gain as much wisdom as I have. Well, if you're looking at gaining wisdom from a man that's speaking that way, or a woman, doesn't really matter, you might gain what they have. But it's not necessarily the wisdom that God is talking about when he says, "Get wisdom." And for us to be able to gain that wisdom that's in there. So what we might do is go to the Bible. And I found this a series of verses and stuff like that. And I think you'll agree, you know, what it says. It's actually in Scripture. And if I put it up here and it's like, oh, I'm not sure, something happened to my font. Let me just read it. In Genesis 3, 4 through 7, it says, "For God knows that the woman was good and desirable for gaining wisdom. She gave some to her husband." Do you remember reading that verse in there? Those verses? So, it's the woman that was going to get the wisdom, and we can get the wisdom from man, right? Because I found this in Scripture. Why are you guys looking at me like that? But doesn't it just say that? "For God knows that the woman was good and desirable for gaining wisdom. She gave some to her husband." Husbands, if you want wisdom, you get it from your wife. Women, you already have wisdom according to the Scripture. But you know what? I did this on purpose. And you're looking at the font that's on there, and you're realizing it's jumped all over the place and everything. Because you know what I did? I picked and chose the words that I wanted to read that was in Scripture. Sometimes we think that way we'll be able to find wisdom. Now, the next slide is going to be the actual words that are inside there. All right, so the font, I'm going to go back. You don't notice, those words don't disappear. They're right there. So, this is Satan speaking to the woman. And says, "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. That's a whole different picture than what I said earlier, isn't it? But if you think you can find wisdom by picking and choosing certain verses in Scripture, you're going to do exactly what I just did for you in the last 5 minutes. You're going to get a warped perception of what wisdom is and where it comes from, because you are not taking in the whole picture that God has for you. And this is just a really good example that if you're going to gain wisdom, you need to gain it correctly. People make a lot of mistakes. People choose things because our little itchy ears like to hear certain things. And we like to hear, you know, things that we can agree upon without having to change our thought pattern. Well, I knew God always thought the women was great. And, you know, it was through women that men had any goodness at all in them, you know. But then we realized that man and woman both failed. Because the both of them were disobedient to God in that particular verse that's there. So, we can look at this, and as we're looking at it, we'll go to Proverbs 13:10, and it says, wisdom is found in those who take advice. So, an individual, right, needs another individual in which to gain wisdom. On our own, we tend to get a very warped perception, again, of what wisdom is. And sometimes even how to do that sort of thing. In Proverbs 10:13, it says, wisdom is found on the lips of the discerning. Right? So it's not just about listening to anybody, but listening to somebody that has a discerning heart, one that can choose a path that is a good path. And we can then listen to that individual and start picking and choosing, not just the best seller that's out there, but someone that really lives the life that they talk about. How about this one here in Proverbs 10:31? The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom. Wow. I think that's pretty neat in the sense of we've got wisdom now, you know, that we can get advice from an individual. We've got wisdom that comes from a discerning heart, and then we've got wisdom from the mouth of a righteous person. Okay, so who here would be willing to give advice about wisdom that somebody would be willing to listen to? That person giving the advice, would you say that you have a discerning heart? Would you say that you have a righteous mouth? So you're looking and it's like, well, maybe two out of the three, maybe one out of the three, maybe none out of the three. Well, then who is it? We're looking at this sort of thing. We're trying to gain wisdom and stuff, and Proverbs is basically telling us where to get it from. And then we get this verse right here in Proverbs 30, verses 2 and 3. He says, I am the most ignorant of men. I do not have a man's understanding. I have not learned wisdom. And then they put this next line in there. Nor have I knowledge of the Holy One. I'm going to tell you right now, there lies the key. If you don't know the Holy One, you don't know wisdom. It's impossible for you to gain that wisdom if you don't know the Holy One. Who's the Holy One? But Jesus Himself. And I think Proverbs is really good at being able to say this. I know we've got a lot of scripture verses and we're kind of making a story out of the scripture verses that are laid out over here. And the scripture verses are kind of, you know, I don't want to say dysfunctional or not dysfunctional, but, you know, from here, from one book to another. But, you know, in our minds, we struggle sometimes how to find things in scripture. So I'm kind of laying out a story with these words here. And we get to the next scripture verse here in Psalms 111:10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Basically what Barb was speaking about earlier. All who follow His precepts have good understanding. To Him belongs eternal praise. And we've already talked about the fear of the Lord. I'm not going to go over that again. If you want to do that, you can go back through on the website and you can, you know, look at that Proverbs, you know, the fear of the Lord. And review that item in terms of what it means to have the fear of the Lord. And so when we look at this particular thing, right, that's the beginning of wisdom. Knowing where you're going to start. And it starts from the fear of the Lord. His awesomeness of what it is. And even deeper than that, that there is no other place in which to find anything other than God. And you see, there's a tag that kind of goes along with it. It's not just about knowing that there's a God and there's an awesome God. It's following His commands and choosing to do that very thing that you will then begin to find wisdom. There's something that God has already done, and that's revealed Himself. There's something that we have to do, is we have to accept Him and follow His commands. That's sometimes the hard part. And it's the hard part. Why? Because we have to work. Right? It's on us to be able to do that sort of thing. Now, He's there to guide us and to be able to do those things. I grant you that. He's not going to just leave us stranded and just say, hey, here's the ticket and go. See you later. And not have any chaperones or this, you know, young child on the airplane or the bus or whatever it is. It's, you know, He guides us. He's there for us, this sort of thing. So don't worry about it. And I'm not done with the verses, so there's still more to come from this, right? Fear the Lord, for that's the beginning of wisdom. And those who follow His precepts have good understanding. In Proverbs 2:6, it says this, for the Lord gives wisdom. Remember all those verses, relax, where can this come from? And it also is like, it's just way too far out there for anybody to be able to give. And it's impossible for me to get wisdom because I don't have the capacity in which to do that, nor do I have the funds or the skills. But you know what it says in this scripture? The Lord gives wisdom. Doesn't say He charges it. He doesn't sell it. Looking for tissues? Yeah. He gives wisdom. And you know, He wants us to be a cheerful giver. You know why? Because God is a cheerful giver. He gives unconditionally with the aspect that it goes out. And He would love it to come back. But if it doesn't, He doesn't stop giving. That's that unconditional love that He has for us. So if we want wisdom, there's only one place we can get it from. And it's the Lord. We need to seek Him and be able to do in that area there. So we look at this section here. It says Isaiah 33:5-6. The Lord is exalted, for He dwells on high. He will fill Zion with justice and righteousness. He will be the sure foundation of your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge, for the fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. Now, remember when we were talking about having a discerning heart? We need to get advice from somebody, and we need to listen to it from the righteous lips. Oh, look at this verse here, right? He dwells on high. Here's a person that is a king. Which means maybe we should get our advice from the king. He also mentions here that He is righteous. Well, maybe Jesus is the one that we should go to, the, you know, and listen to the one with a righteous heart. And for the judgment in terms of the discerning heart. You see, Jesus has all of those things that the Proverbs was alluding to. And we shouldn't question that sort of thing because it's right there in front of us and all of it is right there. So let's go to Daniel, way Old Testament, who was a very man that really had a heart for the Lord. He was in a situation where he's taken away from his homeland. He was moved all the way from Jerusalem, all the way into the Babylonian culture. He was trained in the Babylonian's ways, and he became really great in the Babylonian area, but he lived by the Babylonian laws. And there's certain things that he did that really promoted God, even when he was living amongst those pagans. Sometimes they use the word heathens. Scripture even uses, calls them dogs. Right? So let's look at this here. And this is a time where King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he wanted his smart people, the magicians and all those people, the sayers and all that, to be able to tell him what his dream was without Nebuchadnezzar ever saying what the dream was, and to give the interpretation as well. Well, you know what? Daniel is awesome, because one night, because he said, "I'll ask God for it." And he did. God revealed the dream and the meaning of the dream to him. And this is the response that Daniel had after having the revelation of all that stuff. Even before he went to Nebuchadnezzar and told him about it. He says, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are His. He changed times and seasons. He set up kings and disposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning." Again, here we have the kings and stuff, the wiseness, the discerning. He reveals the deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. "I thank and praise you, O God, my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You have known to me, you have made known to me what we have asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king." Right? Again, look at that. "You have given me wisdom." It all comes from God. Even Daniel, Old Testament, recognizes that sort of thing. And God doesn't change in that area. So this is kind of neat, because when he goes to see Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel says to Nebuchadnezzar that no man can do what you have asked. No man. I don't care who they are. Making it sound it's impossible to do. But then he says, but there is a God that can do that. Because that God is a God of righteousness, discernment, one that you can take advice from, righteous, and has wisdom, is willing to share with those who want to gain that wisdom, and seek it. All right, so we see that. Let's look at this here in Matthew 13, 54. It says, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers?" This is in the book of Matthew. It is the time where Jesus has gone back to his hometown. He's been preaching, and he starts to do some miracles, the few that he can do in his hometown. And the people who know Jesus from being a little baby, or a little small child at least, comes up and says, "Isn't this the son of a carpenter?" And it's like, they cannot understand, where did this man get this wisdom? Well, let me ask you, where does anybody get their wisdom from? Yeah, Armando points up, from God. These people, living right in the midst of Jesus and his life and everything, they're questioning, where does this man get his wisdom from? They have no clue. Now, the book of Proverbs, and most of the verses we've already been looking at, in fact, I think all of the verses we've been looking at, were at disposal to every individual that said these words. And they had no clue how this man can have these powers here. Look at James. We're going to go to some New Testament here. Chapter 1, verse 5. "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God." Right? He doesn't say, "Come to me, I'm one of those apostles." He says, "Go to the man that can do it. Go to God. Directly to God. You don't need to go through anybody. Just go to God. Go to the source. Because he's the one that's going to have... That's the one we need to lend our ear to for the advice. He's the righteous one. Discerning one. And he's the one willing to give that wisdom. And the last verse that I've got is 1 Corinthians. Oh, no, is it? Yeah, it is. So this is where we're going to sum all of this up. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says this: it is because of Him, God, and I put that God in there just so you understand where it's coming from, that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. If you want wisdom, we need to get it from Christ. And there's only one way that you can get it from Christ, and that is to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Just reading about Him in Scripture isn't going to allow you to gain that wisdom. Because where it mentions right there, He says that you are in Christ. That only happens when you're brought into the family of God. And to be brought into the family of God, you've got to ask God into your heart. That might take a little humbling from an individual to be able to give up that pride and that self-sufficiency and I'm going to do it my way attitude. Because now you need to be looking to God for the advice. But I want you to know that He is that righteous one for you. It says right here, He says that He is our righteousness, the holiness, and the redemption. All of that packed together. Wisdom calls out to you, folks. We need to hold on to that. We need to hold on to Christ. The only way we can do that is just to have Christ as our Lord and our Savior. I'm going to say this again. That is the only way you can gain His wisdom. Because Jesus Christ is the way, the light, and the life. And it's only through Him you're going to be able to find salvation. Father, I want to pray for those individuals that have not yet accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. And Father, if there is an individual that's here or listening in on the web that has not yet accepted Christ, I pray for their hearts to be softened. I pray for them just to turn to God. I don't mean physically adjusting to the north or south or east or west. Turn their minds to focus in on God and His Word. I pray that that individual again recognize that we are nothing by ourselves. Yes, God has created us and God does love us. But we need His wisdom to get through this life. We need His righteousness. We need His holiness. We need to be redeemed, brought up out of the depths of sin, to be forgiven, to have life eternal with God in a place where there will be no sin. We need to have a humbling heart. Father, I pray for that to happen right now. There's no magic words to say. Sometimes you can even just have the feeling that we don't know what to say, but you know what? The Holy Spirit will say those words for us. That's how God works. We just need to let Him do His thing. We need to recognize that Jesus Christ is who He says He is, the Son of God. That He did die on the cross for our sins. He was raised again to a new life, to show us that we too will be raised to a new life. Born again. And we can be born again right now. Father, I pray that to happen. And I pray for even those that have known the Lord, but not exactly walking with the Lord, that we come back and get a renewed vigor to be able to gain that understanding and that wisdom that we need to have to make the right choices, to have a heart that constantly seeks and yearns for the guidance of the Lord, to look at His righteousness and all that is good. And Father, as a corporate thing, I pray that this particular church in Harrisville guides those around us correctly, that we don't misinterpret Scripture, that we don't take Scripture and just kind of weasel it to be what we want it to be, but we take the truth of Scripture and share that, knowing that there is more power in Your Word than anything that we can ever try to create. Help us to share that goodness with others. That not only do we have the goodness of God and the wisdom that comes from His gifts, but everyone can have that. And what a place that would be. Father, I pray for all of this, and I just thank You for Your continued relationship with us. Your unconditional love and Your gift of wisdom. Where all we have to do is ask. Because Scripture says, get wisdom. We pray all of this through Your Son, Jesus. Amen.